Hello, all our true crime people. This is Amy.
And this is E.
And you're here today for Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. This is our favorite kind of case to chat about because we get to speculate wildly. And that's right. It's our favorite thing to do. We love cases, love and slash hate cases, right? That are about missing people, unsolved cases, stuff we don't know the answers to. But there's just something about figuring out all of those what happens that we just really like around here. So I'm glad we're covering this case because it is over, it's like a 20-year-old case, right? Like it's an older case and there are no recent leads, nothing new, none. There was actually a stop that was put in the case like 8 years after it happened. I went down maybe my truest rabbit hole that I've ever gone down in a while I was researching this case. So I'm so excited to talk about, I'm so excited to hear Z's thoughts on this. But before we do that, Z is going to give us her show and tell for the week. But
yes,
we're going to talk about the disappearance of Nikki McCowan. And this was a TikTok recommendation.
Think.
Yeah, something, a social media.
Yeah, somewhere on the socials, one of the threes that we frequent. And this case is eerily similar to a couple other cases that we covered. So you'll need to stick around to hear why. I feel like I've seen, and I think I said this every episode here lately, I feel like I've seen this on like a 2020 episode or something. Like a Dateline. It feels familiar. It feels familiar.
It felt that way to me as well. And then in researching the case, part of the case is linked to Dayton, Ohio, which is very close to where I live in Columbus. So I am trying to figure out, is it because it was a Dayton thing? Because she's not from Dayton. So we'll talk about like her backstory and all of that. But so I can't tell if it's that reason or I just saw the name Dayton and thought, oh, I've totally heard about this. And maybe I haven't at all. But it is truly a mystery.
And then not that mysterious actually either from my point of view. Anyways, okay, my show and tell today.
Yes.
Hi, smile. The purple toothpaste.
I've seen this. I can't wait to hear all about it.
It is so good. It is so good. It's okay. So all the ads, you've seen them. You it's the fucking purple toothpaste that they put on a banana and then they wipe it off and the banana is somehow white. It's $23 for the purple one that I got, felt like extremely expensive, right? I just one day was like, I'm gonna get it because I have been wanting to get my teeth professionally whitened. I am deathly scared of the dentist, and so there's all of these things and this anxiety and whatever, and so I was like, $23, I can afford $23.
So I use it
like 2 times a week. And I've had my bottle for like, I don't know, I think like 2 months.
Okay.
And it's lasting. So it's not your actual toothpaste. It's a color correcting thing. And so essentially you put 2 pumps of it onto your toothbrush and then you do like a 30-second like round motion on your teeth and then you spit it out and you're not supposed to ingest it. It has a very like, it doesn't burn the mouth. It has a very pleasant taste. Like it's cinnamony.
Okay.
Again, you're not supposed to swallow it, but you do taste things when you put it in your mouth. Okay. So yeah. And you just do it. I brush my teeth and then I use it. And then sometimes I decide to brush my teeth again afterwards. I don't know, because sometimes I feel like, why not? Why not just hit it again with that third brushy?
It might actually
get my full 2 minutes in, you know, the one day. So they have a toothpaste, they have a color correcting line, in some other products. Yeah, we're going to link them all in our Amazon shop. They even have this one that I saw, and it's like in a tube, and it's like the one that you just put directly on your teeth.
And that's, you can, it's a whitener, or it's a toothpaste.
Well, the
ones you put directly on your teeth.
That one is a whitener. So they have, okay. But they even have a toothpaste line as well. And they have like watermelon toothpaste, I want to say.
I feel like I've seen.
I do not like anything other than mint toothpaste. And if you do, you're a child. And I can't wrap my mind around a grown person using watermelon flavored toothpaste. That feels wrong and peculiar. It's like that. Oh, it's like the Noxzema that my mom used to buy for me and tell me to use, and used to tell me you can tell it's working because your face hurts. So
it's
it
burning,
feels like that.
It's burning your skin off.
Mm-hmm. So it's working. I feel like that with my toothpaste. I feel like they have to be minty. I need a minty fresh breath afterwards, or then why didn't I just eat a Starburst? I'm not sure, you know?
That's a valid point. I have seen the toothpaste. They just started selling it at Target.
Oh, yes.
I was there not too long ago, and they have a bunch of different flavors. They have like a cake flavored one, which I am with you. I don't want my toothpaste. I want my toothpaste to taste minty, definitely not cinnamon. Get out of here with that. You're a monster if you like cinnamon toothpaste.
Love cinnamon
toothpaste. I can't eat anything cinnamon. It hurts my body. But
we've talked about this.
Just
actually
don't like the cinnamon. But mint, I want it to be minty, but I don't want it to be so minty that it's overpowering. I feel like I am a bit of a toothpaste snob. I was using Arm & Hammer, like the baking soda toothpaste for a while, and it leaves a really strange taste in your mouth. I don't enjoy it, but I'm with you. I feel like it has to be minty. I don't want my toothpaste. It's like I don't like food-scented candles.
I don't want
like things to smell in my house to smell like food. I don't burn a lot of candles in my house, but when I'm at somebody's house and they have like a food scented candle, it just grosses me out. That's not what I want to. Maybe I'm so used to like essential oils. I do a lot of those in diffusers around the house, but I don't want my toothpaste to taste like food because that's what I'm getting rid of it. My concern with the whitener, here we go. The 45 minute episode on tooth whitener. I promise we'll get to the point here, everyone. Does it taste, you said it's like a cinnamony taste, or it's got a taste
to it. But it's not, okay. It's a pleasant, you don't like cinnamon. Well, fuck you. It's a pleasant.
Ruin everything. I ruin it all with my no cinnamon.
But it's not, oh my God, this is burning the insides of my everything.
It's like a light taste.
Yes. And you just are brushing for 30 seconds. So I feel like it's not, you know, you're not doing your full routine.
Right. But my concern, because when you said purple toothpaste or purple teeth whitening, I assumed a toothpaste. Does it feel, and you are the person to ask about this. Does it feel chemically? It just reminds me of like a soap.
Yes. Okay. But I bought it anyways because my teeth are just not great. They're great, but like, I just really wanted a good whitening.
They look really white from here, P.S., by the way.
Thank you. It really works. It really works. And so I feel comfortable using it, which is why I brought it as a product recommendation. However,
right, of course.
Does it have clean ingredients? I don't know. I didn't look into it. I just wanted white teeth. And there looks no better, sometimes do better. So not every time do I make the best, especially when it comes to like a beauty product here and there. Like I try so hard to keep so many of my beauty products clean.
Of course.
That when I don't, it's not as big of a deal, I think. Anyways, I don't feel like it's super chemically, but it does freak me out that it's purple. That does freak me out, but also I think that's why it works.
Less because I use purple shampoo because my hair is blonde, and so often I need to use the purple shampoo. So I get that. but it's like really purple. And when I've seen the commercials, your mouth is really purple. And so it seems surprising to me, and I believe you because your mouth is not purple, that it doesn't just permanently stain your mouth purple. Like that
Aurora
seems
so
weird.
Confused every time. Every
I
time.
I bet she is. Yeah.
She's like, but one, mom, why can I not use the purple toothpaste?
Right.
And I try to age appropriately, tell her certain things. So I tell her that it will, it's only for adults because it'll make kids throw up, because I feel like honestly she would swallow some of it and it would make her throw up.
And that would make her throw up. So that's not a lie. That is true.
Yes, because I don't know how else, like, that's the best case. That's the best way that I can explain it to her is it's for adults only. But, like, yeah, when I spit it out, the second question is, but the sink's purple and your toothbrush is purple, but your mouth isn't purple anymore. Like, I know. I'm a witch. And these are my secret powers. Before, I was super skeptical, but there was a sale. So I got... It is $23, but I think I paid like $23 total because I got like free shipping and a discount. So I think it was only 10%, but it still covered like taxes and then I didn't have to pay shipping. So I was like, fine. And now I do see that they have it at Target and I also see that you can purchase it on Amazon as well.
Yeah, we'll put it in our store. It is $23 on Amazon, and so if you are a Prime member, you won't have to pay for shipping, which is great. So if mint is your thing and you like this toothpaste, they do have it. But they also have cake coconut, which I could get down with.
I could do coconut's less gross to me.
Peach,
that's like an acceptable.
No, thank you. Mango, no, thank you. And
that's
watermelon, also no, thank
you.
That's
weird, friends.
Yeah. That's how I get my kids to brush their teeth is to give them a toothpaste that tastes like fruit and they like it. But
I don't even let Aurora. Aurora was at her friend's house and she's like, her toothpaste tastes like berries, mom. And I was like, yes. And she goes, then mine is spicy. And I said, it is.
You're like, she goes, right.
And she's like, she won't use my toothpaste because it was the first time homegirl had stayed over. Roy had a sleepover. And I was like, okay, then I guess next time she'll have to bring your own. She's like, you could just buy me her toothpaste. And I'm like, yeah, no, we're not.
It's not happening, friend.
Yeah, so sorry. But I do need to look for a less spicy one for her because she's getting – you would think before 5 years old she would speak up and say she didn't like it, but she used to love – the spicy, because I use Thieves toothpaste.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I bet that
she used to love it.
Once they get older, their tastes start to change. I don't know if it's because they're eating more things, and so their palate is just different, but I used to be able to give my kids all kinds of shit that
they are now. Yeah.
Like, I would rather set myself on fire than eat that, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rory used to let green stuff be on her plate now and eat it. Now, if it's on her plate, we need to burn down the house because it's an emergency. Why is it on here? She cannot even look at it. It, you know, is in a divided area, but it could potentially jump over and touch the rest of her food and then everything would be contaminated.
I mean... I'm going to make a CPS call after this because I'm not sure she's in a safe place if you're going to make her even think about looking at a green vegetable.
How dare me, right?
Yeah, you're the worst parent. Do you want to talk about this case or what?
I actually really, I mean, I normally do want to talk about the cases, but I really, really do want to talk about this case today.
Me too. But thank you for that product rec. It is good. And maybe I will try it because I too could use some whiter teeth. Check it out.
I've got a couple beauty products. Or I have the next one I will be doing will be a beauty product as well.
Oh, fun. Can't wait for that.
Tune in. Click like and subscribe to hear more.
Z, the beauty influencer, and on the True Crime Podcast. Cool. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, this case. Like I said, don't know that I have ever heard of this case. I feel like I kind of have heard of this case, but also it's really sad because it's sad. Her name is Marilyn Renee Nicole McCown. She goes by Nikki. She was 28 years old and she had a 9-year-old daughter. She was weeks from being married, planning a wedding weeks away. She was a corrections officer at a local prison facility and had a super tight-knit family. That is part, and I don't know why it makes me feel sadder when they have a really close family, but it always makes me really sad when somebody who has a lot of ties. Yeah.
You know that just in so many different people's day-to-day lives that they're probably thinking, oh, I wish Nikki was here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was one of 10 kids.
Damn, dude.
I know.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely not.
But...
I'm selling 8 of them off. But yes, you're not supposed to say that. That's not nice.
I'm sure that puts you on some kind of a list. But anyways, I'm with you, though. Put me on that list, too, because if I have any more than two, I'm done. No, thank you. So on July 22nd, 2001, she went to a local laundromat to do her laundry. I don't use a laundromat typically, but I have heard, or when I did have to use a laundromat, people kind of stick to like the typical machines that they usually use. She was always using the same two washing machines and the same two dryers right by the front door. So this is a place she frequented often enough that she had like her spot that she went to.
And that's like the safest spot to be, BT.
Probably.
I mean, I know we're talking about a missing woman, so that feels a little...
Right, whoops. Maybe not.
But yeah. However, if you're going to... It's smart to be...
Stay by the door. Yeah.
Yeah. Be visible. Make noise.
Absolutely. Yes. And she usually went to the laundromat with family. She almost never went without somebody from her family, which if you have 10 brothers and sisters and your family lives close, it totally makes sense. Except for this day. I mean, like, of course, obviously. If you forgot that you did tune in to a true crime podcast, we are going to be covering a crime. So get ready for that. Glad we're all on the same page. Apparently, one of her sisters lives close enough that they can even see her doing her laundry in the laundromat on a typical day. But this sister, her name was Tammy, was not home at this time. She's at a movie. So, of course, again, this is the day she goes
because
missing.
This is a true crime podcast. Hello.
Right.
Hi.
So something
welcome.
Bad is going to happen in the moment. Regardless.
Be prepared.
Be prepared. She's at the laundromat. Normally takes a family member or visits her sister. Today, she does neither, but she does visit her parents instead while her clothes are washing. She does leave the laundromat.
I think that's so cool that like all of the kids and stuff, all of her brothers and sisters live so close that she's like, oh, my sister Tammy isn't home across the street from where I do my laundry. I don't know how often normal people do laundry, but 2 to 3 times a week.
Right.
And you know, oh, Tammy's not home today, so I'm just going to hit up my mom's house, raid her snacks, see if she's got any goodies for me, and then go back and flip my stuff. And, you know, that seems like, as long as you're not in a toxic family environment, that seems like the dream, especially with a 9-year-old. If you're a single parent, I know she was about to get married, but that was recently. That I don't think that was for all 9 years of that child's life. So it's so nice to have all that together.
He wasn't the father of her 9-year-old, but the 9-year-old and the fiance apparently had a really good relationship. She was really happy about it. But yeah, she's a single parent. She needs some help. I think it would be super nice to have close family to support that, to help for community.
Well, we both have that. What if
we do?
What if we had more? Because like we both have, like I have Roberto's family super close to me.
Yeah.
And you have your sister super close to you. And that's who helps us out occasionally. What if we had literally 3 times as much? What if your parents also live down the street too?
Right. Well, and I think about that, and like right now, living in the community we're living in over the summer, and they're not family, they're just friends and coworkers and whatever, but having people close by to help with kids is super great and it's super important. But I also think about like sister wives and how sometimes in those particular situations, it's too much. Like it's too many people.
Yes.
But I digress. But
that's true.
I mean, obviously, in this situation, it just is sad because it really goes to show that no matter how close you have and how many people you have close by, bad things can like still happen. So something else that was kind of strange that happened. So she leaves the laundromat. She goes to visit her parents. While she's at her parents, she's telling them about there were these men at the laundromat. She was kind of nervous about going back, but it wasn't something that made her so uncomfortable that she didn't go back. So she does eventually go back to the laundromat. And after she leaves her parents' house, that's the last time she's ever seen. She's never seen again. So immediately following her disappearance, her family starts actively searching for her. They put up flyers in Richmond, Indiana, which is where she's from, Indianapolis, which is not too far from there, and also in Dayton, Ohio. So Dayton was like an hour or so outside of her hometown. Community members are participating in this search. There is still a Facebook page today that is active called Missing Nikki McCowan. And I clicked on it. I'm going to put a link in our show notes. But as recent as June, somebody made a post. People are still posting in there. This happened in 2001. So the family, they're looking for her. There are organized rallies, remembrance things, all of the things. They want to make sure she's not forgotten. They want to still continue to look for her. They're wanting to do all these things. Now, she does have a fiance, right? She's engaged.
Almost married.
Almost weeks from getting married. Actually, on the day that she went missing, her fiance was out with his friend looking for tuxedos. So this is like happening soon.
Oh, that's sad. That's like a punch to the gut.
It is. But here's where some of that speculate wildly comes in. He did some really wackadoo stuff during this time. Soon as she goes missing, he cancels the wedding.
Now, sus.
Right. Now, some people say, what difference does it make? She went missing. So it cancel, postpone. What difference does it make?
In their right mind thinks, oh, you know what I need to do? And like, no, look, not all men are all women and we're right. fucking special and we're unique and yeah, no. My husband would never, that would not be anywhere on the front of his fucking mind. His mommy would have called to cancel the wedding after the wedding date had already happened. Like, he would not have, like, that's not a man planning something. Psh, get out of here. A man fucking calling a wedding planner to fucking to discuss anything. One, A+ man. Two, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. That's a fake man. That's fake human.
He's not a real person.
No, that person is not real. But also, like, to the fact, just in general, that he called and did anything about the wedding to me, other than calling like the week before and being like, have you not seen the news? Like, because in my mind, my husband would think, oh, she would have seen the news and just canceled for us. No, fool. He's very smart. My husband's incredibly intelligent. But like, no, fool. Like, we have
right.
to fucking
That's
gotta
not
make
how
these
this
phone
works.
Calls. That's not yeah. how it works. Like, you get, so to me, sus as fuck, and all, like, for multiple instances, why did he not postpone instead of cancel? And then, like, he called with enough time. Like, I mean, it wasn't like a last minute. Well, I guess she was weeks away, but yeah, that just the whole thing. Whole thing's very, very weird.
So that part was really weird to me. He also, while she's missing, calls her college. So she went to like a local community college and she was still in classes. He called the college to get her some of her college tuition money back because she was missing and she wasn't taking classes. He claimed that it was in order to invest that money like in the search for her, but he got really upset when they wouldn't give him the money. They were like, you can't have it.
I would also get upset because thank you for stealing my money, college systems. Fuck you. I used to work at a college
100.
For a while. And no, at that point, they should have talked to the dean because they could have refunded a certain amount. I'm just going to let you know that if she didn't attend classes, I would have also been mad that I didn't get my money back, not to help with the search, but just on the principle, like, well, but she didn't go. It's just like if my kid didn't show up for gymnastics, you know, and you won't right. let me, I don't know, but then that's my fault. But whatever, that's not a good example. I don't know where I'm going with this example thing. I just,
right.
I do understand wanting to get some of that money back.
I can understand wanting to get money back. I don't know that. I mean, I think kind of along with the wedding, canceling the wedding versus postponing it, that's going to be really low on my list of things that I'm concerned priorities. About if my if my fiance is missing. But at the same time, grief and panic and trauma does weird things to people. So maybe this was how he was coping with them. To me, these things and also this last thing makes me feel like most Americans, hello, that he was having some sort of a money issue, because he also sold his ring and he said he did those things to fund things for the search, which if I didn't have very much money and I knew if I had to sell my wedding ring to save my husband, he would 100%
just do it.
I would do it. He would 100% understand. And when you come back or when we find you, I will buy a new ring. It's fine. But for right now, this is the money we need it for and whatever, whatever.
Yeah, we but have such a tan line anyways. LOL, right. if we try to go out without it. Right. Joke's on us.
Everyone knows that we're married. All of those things added together is suspect to me. It seems very
The selling of the ring, just because, look, I understand, because if my husband went missing, for instance, right now I have two small kids at home and I have like no easy way to leave the house to start making money, especially if I don't have help inside of my own house, right?
Right.
So, and like no easy way, it's like, it's the whole fucking system, right? Like childcare is so expensive. And yes. so like all I would be doing is affording child. So I would be working just so I could work. Like, yeah. But either
you have no extra money. Yeah.
Like literally just to put food in our mouths. I don't know if I would sell my wedding band. I would have sold my engage. I would sell my engagement ring though. But I wouldn't sell my wedding band. I don't know, but so it was his wedding band that he sold?
It that yeah. So it was because his wedding band, but they hadn't gotten married yet. So maybe it didn't have that sentimental value.
I just want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I feel like a lot of the finger pointing with him, for instance, is just like just to want to find some things that are wrong when it might seem
for sure.
that he just really, really had some money issues.
I 100% agree with that and think the same. It could have absolutely just been happenstance and this is how he's handling it. And so everybody's kind of looking at him like, okay.
It's just, which I think that he totally killed her, but not this guy, but in the Lacey Peterson case, I think Scott right. totally killed her. Right. But it's just like that, where they wanted to find anything, which fuck that guy. So, but they wanted to look for any single instance. Like they were like, oh, he didn't grieve appropriately, or better scenario, the Madeline McCann, where they're, yeah. where they think the parents, oh, they weren't sad enough. Or they weren't this enough and they did this and like everybody's trying to read into their reactions. And honestly and truly, everybody has their own unique reactions to certain things. And you don't, fortunately and unfortunately, you don't get to decide how anybody else grieves, what that looks like, how it feels like for them, what kind of mental place that's going to be putting them in their lives, you know?
I feel like that's really hard because
so hard.
God help me.
Judge all these people. And I'm like, fuck you. And you're fucking, you look like you don't even care. You're so calm, cool, and collected and chill. Why?
Well, and God forbid somebody ever sees me at a funeral. I can't take anything seriously. And I am always trying to make everything into a joke. So if Chris ever dies, everyone will 100% assume that I did it, because I will be laughing and making jokes. It's just like who I am. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm sure it's something I'll talk about with my therapist at some point, but I can't do it. So I get all of those things, the three things, and I'm sure there were more than those. You are under a microscope when somebody you love goes yes. missing. And that just is what it is. I don't know that he did it. I don't know that he didn't do it. I do find those things sort of strange. Almost 4 months later, in November of 2001, some of Nikki's clean laundry was found in her fiance's car, which is what she was driving when she went missing, located in the parking lot of a Dayton, Ohio apartment complex. Now, this Dayton, Ohio apartment complex also was the apartment complex of her ex-boyfriend. Now, according to reports, the ex-boyfriend has an alibi for that day. He was not suspected of anything. There was no link to him. They were had a good relationship. It was fine. But it was the fiance's like GMC truck or whatever. The door had been like had been jimmied open. Like you could tell it had been popped, like the lock had been popped or whatever. And her clothes were still in the car from 3 months before or 4 months before when she went missing. Ultimately, they were able to find no fingerprints in the car. It didn't help investigators understand what happened to her.
It took them 3 months to find the fucking car.
Yeah, almost four. She went missing at the end of July. That's... They found the car in November.
And it was in a very, it was in the hood, essentially. Not the hood, but it was in the same neighborhood-ish area. So essentially...
No, so it was an hour away. It was at least an hour or 2 hours from where she lived.
Okay,
but
okay,
it was
okay.
Somebody she knew, which I find to be odd that it's like, why wouldn't you investigate that a little further? I don't know. But
I do agree with that, but it does make me feel better that, for instance, it wasn't, okay, I live a mile and a quarter from Walmart. It makes me feel better to know that it wasn't like her car sitting at the Walmart and nobody looked and we just didn't know. Yeah, it makes me feel better to know that was definitely an Amy find. So shout out to Amy for that. But like, that was nuts that it took them 3 months, but it was an hour or two away. So it wouldn't be the same people necessarily who knew her other than that ex-boyfriend, which
again, super sus. Z, tell us about
main
guy, which is sussy all around.
So this is full disclosure, the guy that I think who did murder her, even though we don't know she's been murdered, but I think he did it. And right. It totally could have been the ex-boyfriend. I want to do more looks. You said you did the deepest dive and you couldn't find anything about why they said that they didn't want to look more into him. They were just like, nah, he's good to go. Was he an old white man?
It said he had an alibi. Okay. That was all it said, was that he had an alibi. And I tried to search out like what was his alibi. Like the only alibi that I think would be like rock solid if like he's in jail or like somewhere where there is video footage of him never leaving.
Fair enough. It's not for us to know and he gets his privacy.
Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever. Anyways. Okay. In 2010, Tommy Swint, he was a person of interest in Nikki's case. He committed suicide after being indicted in Ohio for an unrelated murder that happened in 1991. Police had identified Tommy Swint, who was Nikki's former coworker.
Yes.
Sting as a suspect. He, I don't know, was from somewhere pretty close by. It's Trontwood. I don't know what the fuck that is, Amy. Sounds like a dumb place. Just kidding. If you live there, I'm sure you're beautiful.
I'm sure it's great. It's so wonderful. Yes. It is like, so where Nikki is from is in Richmond, Indiana, which is fairly close to Indianapolis.
I live in Richmond, Texas.
Same place. But they border each other. So it's like... Where I live in Columbus, it's really weird because I don't border anything. So I can't just like hop on over to Indiana or hop on over here. But when I lived in Kentucky, I literally lived across the river from Indiana. And where I am now in New York, I am 20 minutes from New Jersey, New York, or Pennsylvania at any point in time. So while it seems confusing that she is actually from Indiana, it's not that confusing. They're very close to each other. So...
Fair enough. I am from Texas and I get very confused because it takes you days and days to drive across this fucking state. Right. So sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, I drove through three states today. And yet it took my husband longer to get to the airport to go to work.
Right.
Just where we live. Anyway, so Tommy Swint, he worked as a corrections officer and a security guard with Nikki. He later became a police officer, but he was forced to resign after he failed to inform them that he was suspected in Nikki's disappearance. He just, like, didn't tell them, which I do kind of understand, though, because either way, he was going to get fired. So why were you going to tell on yourself?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anyone.
How are you going to, I need to sit down with you, boss, because, by the way, like, that's a fucking weird-ass conversation. Yeah, I just also would avoid it.
Same.
He filed a lawsuit against the police department claiming that he was never told he was a suspect. However, this was dismissed. The police department brought out proof that he was informed. Yeah, exactly. Backing it up just a little bit, because that was in 2010 when he committed suicide, okay? And this was after he was indicted. So going back to 2007, I keep saying 20-something, like it's been recently, but it's not. So in 2007, as a result of media coverage about the lawsuit, an informant contacted the police, and the police told them to investigate Tommy as a possible suspect in the murder for this other woman. And she was 33-year-old Tina Ivory. And then in 2007, Nikki's sister publicly revealed that she was actually having a relationship with Tommy before Nikki had vanished. And apparently Nikki and Tommy had met while they were, again, working at the same corrections facility. And on the day of her disappearance, she tried to contact her sister multiple times. And her sister believes that she was trying to talk to her about the affair that she was having with Tommy. Which also, okay, that brings into question both Tommy and the fiance and all the weird ass things the fiance did too, right? Because if she's having an affair, that gives both of those men reason to murder her. Does it not?
So there's them. There's those two wise guys. This Tommy Swint also had a different girlfriend at the time. So Tommy Swint has a girlfriend. Tommy and Nikki are like getting together on the down low. Nikki and Bobby are getting married. Then there's also this ex-boyfriend who had an alibi. There's so many people.
I'm tired. Where are all the, and she has a 9-year-old? Where are all the hours in the day to just boink it all? I guess that with the 9-year-olds, they don't touch you as much. Nobody's suckling on your nipples. It's just, that's a lot of boyfriends.
She's got an iPad and she's out of here. Yeah.
Keep your hands to yourself, sirs. Thank you. Thank you. I'm tired and good night.
For sure. Back to this Tina Ivory girl. In May of 2008, they had found DNA from semen and blood on Tina Ivory that matched Tommy Swint. So they're pretty sure that he was it. And then he kills himself. So, I mean, that kind of says, okay, you did it. There were fingerprints on tape that was wrapped around her body that also matched Tommy. And in February of 2010, he was indicted for her murder. But that same day that he was indicted, he committed suicide in his home in Alabama. So apparently he hightails it out of Ohio. He goes to Alabama. Doesn't matter. He still gets indicted because I do think 100% he killed Tina Ivory. So the chances of him killing Nikki McCowan are pretty good, but he kills himself. So now we don't know anything. So the police are now considering him the prime suspect in Nikki's disappearance. They also consider him a suspect in other murders. So aside from Tina Ivory and Nikki McCowan, there are other murders that they're like, yep, he could be tied to that one. But now he's dead. And so no charges can be filed. Can't file charges against a dead person. And the police have also noted that he had another girlfriend at the time of Nikki's disappearance. They believe, and this is where I'm like, man, lady, come on. They believe that she has important information about the case, but she is reluctant to speak to police, so she won't talk to them. This guy's dead, and I get it. You want to save the word of your man. Like, I understand. I don't understand, because if I found out my husband was killing people, or my boyfriend, or my girlfriend, or whatever, was murdering people, I know, I guess it would depend on the situation, but I would, especially if it's going to help solve the case and he's dead. Okay, I'm going to tell people.
Yes. Yes, because he's deceased.
So. Right. And so it's not, what is he going to go to jail? He's already killed himself. And so to me, that tells me not only are you guilty, but you're like leaving me alone to deal with this, whether I had anything, and maybe she had something to do with it. And that's why she's reluctant to say anything. Maybe she helped him. Who knows? But she won't speak to police, and she hasn't spoke to police. So there were remains that were found that were speculated to be Nikki's near Spencer, Indiana, which is close to Richmond, which is where she lived. So in the vicinity, in November of 2003. So this is like way before anything else, kind of, this is way before he committed suicide. This is way before everything. But the DNA tests were inconclusive. They weren't able to determine who it was, which I don't know. I didn't look because I don't like to. I didn't look much into how the, like, what remains were found, how they were found.
Oh, no.
What the deal was, because I can't. I'm not interested in that, which, I mean, that's definitely sitting at a place of privilege, but I didn't. But so she's still officially listed as missing because they have not concluded that she actually was murdered.
I mean, it's pretty fucking clear that Tommy squinted it. And I hate that they cannot close the case and give everybody the peace of mind that that would bring. Honestly,
especially because of all
with
of
his fucking fingerprints. Like, yes, yeah. Her daughter, her family members, all the people counting on her. And yeah. I know he's dead, so they definitely can't indicate him, right. But what the fuck? Yeah, and then his girlfriend's sitting there with he's gone now, girl. Just tell us what happened.
Right. Or do you know something? I don't know that I could live with that information without telling people, especially if it's going to give somebody else closure. I do feel like
in on it. But
well, and that's the other thing. What if she participated with him? What if he was, they said he could have been a part of other murders. So what if she was like a partner?
Fair enough. I also guess I wouldn't want people to think that the person that I loved and committed my life to, or was my partner at the time, right, who I was committing my life with at the time, was sure, just like this awful, terrible human.
Yeah,
maybe she's trying to protect his memory.
Fair enough. But
he shouldn't have killed people. That's not nice.
I don't think it's nice
how we play with others.
So I do. Do I think that Tommy Swint did it? Good chance. I think his likelihood of doing it is higher than some. But since the fiance's car was found, and the fiance's super squirrely, and the complex was a complex of her ex-boyfriend's, an hour from her house. So it's whoever put that car there had to have known that that was that guy's apartment complex.
Oh, like, there's
no
sure
way that it's like, oh, this was random that this happened. Had to for have sure known. So if the ex-boyfriend wasn't involved, it had to have been somebody she was close with. And then she kept trying to call her sister that day. And like, that's just, there's so, I hate when we have untied missing people. It just is really sad. And whatever he did with her, like, he hit her good. Or that those were her remains in 03 and they just weren't able to figure it out. I would love to see them reopen. I mean, obviously now it's been 20 years. There should be better advances. I'd love to see them kind of be able to figure that out. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. But that's our case.
That's it. That's Nikki.
If you know about this case, you've heard about this case, you are intrigued by this case, please share your facts and findings, because I found myself very intrigued by this story in a way that I haven't been for a long time, because it's so bizarre. And the possibilities to me are not endless, but plentiful. So I would love to hear your take on this if you are also feeling that way about this case.
I mean, there are three really possible suspects.
Yeah. Four if you count the girlfriend.
True that.
Because I think we
don't want to count her out.
Right. I think we're often quick to assume it's a man because most serial killers are men, but we cover a lot of really gnarly women on this podcast. So there, it could very well have been her. She was jealous. She found out he was cheating on her. She hired somebody to go, like, maybe those men that she was feeling uncomfortable about in the laundromat, maybe they had been hired by the girlfriend, and it wasn't any of these men. It was this girl. I have no idea. But either way, it left that poor little girl without a mom, and that sucks, and I hate that, and she had family. Everybody is important and valid, but when they have a lot of family, it hits me harder.
Agreed.
That is our case for today. Come back next week where we have, I believe, a parenting chat episode. Very exciting. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but I'm sure it's going to be riveting. I think maybe school. I don't know. We'll figure it out, and then we'll talk to you about it, and you will like it. Or you won't like it, and you'll wait for the next episode when it'll be true crime, and that's okay, too. Find us on all the things. Try out the purple toothpaste. I know I am. It's intriguing. Check out
our Amazon. I want to get the color correcting.
Is it like a pen?
Wand. Yeah, pen.
Oh, next. A wand. Like it touches your teeth, or it's like a light?
Ooh, I think it actually touches your teeth. I would prefer a light, though.
Okay. I mean, that would be kind of magic. You'd kind of feel right? Like a wizard. Mm-hmm. If you have amazing products we need to try, let us know, because I'm always up for trying new things and telling you my honest opinions on it. Because as you guys
and
know,
we would give each other a turn. So one time it'd be Amy's turn, the next time it would be my turn. And you could just mail us one. You don't even have to do two. You could just mail us one and I could review it. Then Amy can review it. It'll be a whole thing. Maybe we could even share it back and forth. We mail it to each other too. So
amazing.
Look at that.
I love it.
We would love to do some sponsored posts.
Yeah. I love it so much because we're going to always give you the real, because that's just how we are around here.
100%.
But until then, find us on all the things, all the socials, check out the notes in the show notes if you're looking for any information on this episode, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.